Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living Baltimore. Our guest today is Kevin Kraft, who is Administrative Director of the Governor's Commission on African Affairs. And Kevin's here today to talk to us about the various things that the Governor's Commission does in support of the African diaspora in Maryland, which is considerable. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for inviting me again. It's good to be back.
Anyway, first of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Governor's Commission on African Affairs?
Certainly. The Governor's Commission on African Affairs, just like the Middle Eastern Commission, was established in 2007 by executive order. As most of your listeners probably know, Governor O'Malley was in power then, but everything has continued unchanged with the Hogan administration.
How can someone find out more information about the commission?
Best place to find information about everything that Governor's Office of Community Initiatives does, and that's where the commission falls in under one of the ethnic groups, is goci.maryland.gov. From that website, you can explore all the different commissions, and there are seven different ethnic and cultural commissions. You can find out about all the 21 commissioners that we have slots for on my commission, and all the other activities like Department of Service and Volunteerism, Volunteer Maryland, all the different things that the GOCI plays a role in.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your current activities? You mentioned 21 members. They're from a lot of different areas of Maryland, I bet.
Typically, our members run the gamut from more populated counties. The furthest outlying commissioner I have is in Frederick County, actually. He runs a division of, or not really a division, but a part of UNESCO. If your folks have heard of that, it's, I forget exactly what it stands for, it's United Nations Education, something, something, science. I can never remember, but they help kids typically the high school age. I just was at a closing ceremony for their model UN that they run for 2 weeks every year.
Neat. That's great. That's great. And I know that you do your work through various task forces.
Each of the commissions has subcommittees. There are workforce development and education, business and economic development. That's another subcommittee. Those are the two busiest ones, I would say. Uh-huh. Then there's arts, culture, and faith. And then there's health, which has been picking up because of COVID and all the different things that go around it. But when it comes to that, we've been all hands on deck anyway. So everyone's been involved in that. There's been no delineation by the subcommittees.
And I know that you folks do various things in support of the African diaspora in Maryland. Could you tell us a little bit about that community?
Certainly. Primarily, it is Nigerian and Ethiopian. That is the highest numbers where most of the folks come from. But all over Western Africa, we get a decent amount of refugees and folks who just immigrate the normal way. The folks who have regularly immigrated are typically have been here 20-plus years. They've been in Maryland as long as I have. They all come over. They've all raised kids here, made very stable parts of the community. They're all very focused on education. So a lot of what we do tends to help either with business or education. That is a big focus of that community.
Such as promoting businesses run by Nigerian Marylanders?
Yes. Actually, any African-born fits into what we do. But Nigerians, particularly entrepreneurial, they love running businesses. They are very strong with it. They give it their full focus, and anything that we can do to help them out is greatly appreciated. We've run a couple of different things with some federal groups, one in particular, Prosper Africa. That's a conglomeration of different federal agencies that are looking to spur investment in both ways, going both ways, in Africa and for Africans to come here and invest in the United States. But
so they,
with our, yeah, go ahead.
So that they would be introductions and maybe favorable terms for borrowing money and things like that?
It is any number of programs, but mm-hmm. most of them, yes, involve low-interest loans or grants. Typically, a lot of the money is grants as well, where there is no requirement to pay it back. It typically is just which part of the state or which part of the country that you're looking at. Like a lot of Maryland things are agriculture because of, well, everything that's going on the Eastern Shore, which is primarily agrarian. Geez, I have a phone going off. I apologize.
I know that there's how many African born Marylanders are there at this point? Do you know?
The last census had it somewhere around 800,000, and we expect it's gone all the way to 900,000 with the latest numbers from the 2020 census.
That's huge. That's almost 1/6 of Maryland, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it is growing. It's actually, I'm sorry, I apologize. That number is more of a DMV number. I just recalled that now when I was looking at it. It's about 15%, and there's about 6 million Marylanders, so it's a healthy number.
Wow. Why has, that's a high number for states, isn't it?
It is, but it's primarily because of our proximity to the district. Most of African immigrants are drawn to the D.C. area. That's where folks came a long time ago because it is the seat of power here in the U.S. And now with this third and fourth waves coming in, they've established a very solid foothold. A number of Africans are running for statewide office this year. A large increase from the last election cycle where there were several who ran for delegate and state senate as well. So
This is good.
Yeah, absolutely. The African-born part is fading, but we still get a pretty healthy amount of folks in who come in as refugees. Latest is Democratic Republic of Congo. We're getting quite a folks. People moving into the Baltimore area from there. But the feds have control of that, so we just accept what they give us. And the folks contribute greatly. They work extremely hard and cause very few problems for the state. So it usually works out to be a good thing, and they have a solid track with being industrious here in the state.
Are there sectors of the economy they're more involved in than others?
It's usually entrepreneurial, and as you know, that goes to everything. With Ethiopians, there's a lot of restaurants. With Nigerians, it's almost a flavor of the month, whatever's hot. There was a time when it was the financial industry. Now with the current economy, it's healthcare. Nursing has always been a big entry point for a lot of, especially female immigrants. Of African descent.
Especially with the nursing shortage in this country,
Yes.
Yeah.
They're feeling a great need.
You said, I think that you've been implying it's mostly Western Africans, of course, along with Ethiopians and Congo, et cetera. But why do you think Nigeria and Ethiopia? I guess just people know each other, right?
Well, that's hard to say other than folks are just looking for an opportunity, and if they can't find it at home, the United States has always been a very solid place for them to land. So many Africans have come here and done very well. It's a draw.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And
that's good.
As Maryland continues to grow economically, demographically, everywhere you can think of, we're growing. It's just going to be that much more attractive. Well, the world has shrunk. I mean, with the internet and all of that, infrastructure improves in Africa, and I think that's probably when I think about it, The more developed countries in Africa, the more they find out about what's going on over here, the more want to come.
Yeah.
That's just speculation on my part.
Yeah, well, Nigeria, with its huge population, would
yes.
be logical, huh?
Yeah, and that's why that particular group probably dominates demographically,
right.
followed by the Ethiopians, and then maybe Cameroon and Ghana.
Pretty
right. close, third and fourth. Yeah.
With the Washington focus, as you mentioned, probably most, the Washington area has the highest percentage of African, of the African diaspora in Maryland?
Yes. And the state of Maryland is actually fourth. I don't recall what the other ones are, but the DMV area is by far the most heavily populated with African immigrants.
You're from Jersey? Transplant?
Yeah, that's where I went to high school. My parents were military affiliated, so that's where we landed.
Yep, well, my parents were military affiliated too. So.
Awesome.
Welcome
Great
to the club.
Life.
Got about a minute left, Kevin. What would you add?
The shots. Getting the immunization done for COVID. There are still some groups out there that are a little afraid, so we're doing everything that we can. And that's a big thing that these radio interviews really do help with. Your listenership, they're concerned about civic issues, and this is the biggest one we face right now, is to make sure that we do not let COVID come back.
Save the lives of your friends and family and yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The best way to tackle it is through the immunizations.
Amen. Amen. And I know that any member of the African diaspora that's in Maryland that needs assistance for anything can just give you folks a ring?
Yes. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Just look for Maryland Governor's Office of Community and Aid. That's where we post information about what's going on. It's very easy to get involved. My information is available on the website that I mentioned earlier. GOCI.maryland.gov. Call me, email me. We can get you in contact with our commissioners, who are kind of like the governor's ground troops. We tackle everything. I get calls from, I never know what it's going to be from one day to the next. That is our specialty, to make sure that everyone knows that the government works for them, and it's not the other way around. A lot of folks, especially immigrants, get that feeling from their governments, which is part of the reason that some of them left. So we want to make sure that they understand that we work for them.
Absolutely.
Governor Hogan is very focused on making sure that people know that.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, though, Kevin, that's all we have time for today.
All right.
Living in Baltimore. That contact information, one more time, please.
Sure. Best place to find information about us is goci.maryland.gov on the internet. But we're also on Twitter and on Facebook, and that's Maryland Governor's Office of Community Initiatives. Search those words, and all our information will come up. We're very easy to get a hold of.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Remember, if you are a victim of discrimination, say, in finding an apartment, getting a mortgage, being unfairly passed over for a job at work, or being told we don't rent to you people, don't just take it. File a complaint. Call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600 or 1-800-637-6247 or go to mccr.maryland. Remember, if you need training in fair housing, call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600, Español Marca El Dos, or 1-800-637-6247, or go to mccr.maryland.gov on the net, or call me at 410-929-7640.gov. But that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Kevin Kraft, who is Administrative Director of the Governor's Commission on African Affairs, for being our guest today. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Bill. You have a great day in Baltimore. Have a fantastic weekend.
Amen. Amen. And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.